Welcome to the Pac-Man Podcast, Patriotic American Citizen. I'm Ted Flint on the BMG Network. Well, you know, November. So if there's one issue that you had to say that you're more concerned about than any other issue, what would it be? Most Americans say it's the economy. It's not climate change. It's not transgender rights. It's not any other of these the myriad of things the left says it is. It's the economy, stupid, as somebody in the Bill Clinton administration coined that phrase back in the campaign of 92. It's the economy. Most people care about cost of living increases and affordability. That's what I care about most. I have a family of four children. My wife and I have raising four children, trying to raise four children on one salary. And it's impossible, nearly impossible. You know, that's the story for most Americans. According to the media, the corporate media, they say the economy's great. Inflation has disappeared. Well, it hasn't, obviously. Food prices are high. Gas prices are high and going higher. Steve Cortez at American Greatness writes, Americans, regular Americans, know better. Polling for his League of American Workers proves the point. In Arizona, former President Trump leads Biden by 4 points, mostly due to economic disenfranchisement with Biden. Voters say they were better off under Trump than they are under Biden. It's not even close, 53% to 35%. And that mirrors similar results in other swing states. Voters have a lot of worries, no doubt about it. Open borders, you know, increasingly unsafe streets in our large cities, New York City especially. You know, pick a city, Houston, Atlanta, Chicago, Detroit, you name it. It's not safe. But it's the economy that most people care about because it affects everyone. President Biden and his underlings say they're staunch defenders of Israel's democratic light in the Middle East's engulfing darkness, but actions and rhetoric suggest otherwise. That's according to the Washington Examiner's Hugo Gurdon. Biden says Israel would cross a red line if it invades Hamas, the last stronghold in Rafah. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called for Israel to oust Prime Minister Netanyahu, whom he accused of pursuing the war over the best interests of Israel. Now, Schumer, being Jewish, used to get Israel right, but he's caving to his left-wing base, the left-wing Israel Jew haters in the Democrat Party, and that's most of the left. Most of your anti-Semites are leftists. He is caving to them, and he's Jewish. If I were Jewish, I'd be so unnerved by this. But you see it all the time. The people defending Hamas the loudest are Jews, liberal Jews, for sure. Schumer's out to lunch on this. If Schumer is willing to undermine Israel and unity and give aid to Hamas, I mean, how can we trust them? That's how radical the Democratic Party is today. It's gone. That party is gonzo. There's nobody in the Democrat Party who can, if Biden goes down, and I hope he doesn't, he's getting weaker by the minute. Have you seen him lately? It's, you know, I want to say it's a joke, but it's a sad joke on the Republic, putting somebody like that in office in the first place. If he goes down, look who's going to take his place. She's even worse. I don't know. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on national politics. There's a lot here in New York State I could talk about, but I don't really want to do that either. I'm sick of politics, especially here in New York. Everything's political in Albany. No budget yet. They're 10 days late. They're going to sign another extender Friday of this week. It's going to go into the end of next week, we're hearing. People say, so what? What's that got to do with anything? Well, it's got a lot to do with school districts. They don't know how much funding they're getting. They can't set their budgets. School budgets are due in May. But these people in Albany could care less. Most of the trouble is being brought about by the New York City radical Democrats. There are eight socialists, avowed socialists, in the Democrat Party, in the Senate and the Assembly. I don't know what the breakup is, 5-3, 4-4, doesn't matter. But they are making the rest of the party cave to their whims. And I could get into any issue, any number of issues, but I won't because I'll just get upset and I just will lose my place here. I want to talk about the price of gasoline. We mentioned affordability. Upstate New York, the average price, I'd say it's about $3.65, maybe $3.69. I see a couple of $3.49s. Bennington's $3.49. It's about 20 minutes away, but that's in Vermont. Gasoline prices in this country are at a six-month high. The average nationwide is $3.60 a gallon, more than a 50% increase since Biden took office. Over the past month alone, prices at the pump have surged by more than 20 cents a gallon. Feels like a nickel a day sometimes, doesn't it? That dime and nickel, and you know, 20 cents over the past month. And, you know, we're feeling the pinch, those of us on a budget. The current average is about a buck higher than it was when Donald Trump left office. It was $2.38 when he left office. Now, there are various factors. Yes, it's supply and demand, partly. Experts, though, warning that prices could continue to climb. Biden's policies. He wants to reshape the nation's energy landscape. He vowed to destroy the fossil fuel industry when he was running for office, and he's fulfilling that campaign promise. If we would just frack, like other states around us are doing, Pennsylvania, some of the other southern states are fracking for natural gas, thousands of feet below ground. They're busting into shale and getting natural gas, extracting it through this. The technology is phenomenal, but we can't do it in New York because our Democratic leaders, I use that term loosely, won't permit it. They say it's unsafe. It's perfectly safe. So many states frack and their economies are booming because of it. But the communists here in the Democrat Party won't permit it because it would be cheap gasoline. People have cheap gasoline and natural gas and oil. What are they going to do? They're going to drive around even more. They want to reduce consumption by jacking up prices and taxing gasoline. Goldman Sachs has projected gasoline prices could hit $4 a gallon by May. Of course, that's the traveling season. Why not? Some analysts are saying we could see $5 a gallon or more in the near future. And this piece here in Newsmax has some news from around the country. In California, drivers are feeling the brunt of these high prices. $5.50 a gallon, good place for it out in California. You want it? You got it. You want the high prices? You want to live in California? All those taxes and the Democrats running things? Unsafe streets? But we have that here in New York, so I really can't point the finger at California. There is a writer in this publication called Salon. I don't know if you've ever read Salon. It's hard. It's communist. It really is to read it. They're so far left, it's unbelievable. I mean, they're free to print whatever they want to print, even if a lot of it's not true. But they claim the recent attacks on women in New York City are the fault of men who favor Donald Trump. And I couldn't believe what I was reading in Salon. Now, there's a new trend. And it's awful. It's sickening. Men, usually black men or men of color, walk up to unsuspecting women, usually white women, and punch them in the face, sucker punch them. And it's Trump's fault. So there's this article by Amanda Marcotti. She claims the recent attacks, and these are blindside punches, and many of these women have been seriously injured, were animated by the same misogyny behind the support of Donald Trump. So here's the Salon piece. These stories resonate as well because the nation is having a moment of increasingly unhinged male fury at women for daring to have lives that are centered around something other than catering to a man's every whim. What is she talking about? Unleashed by Donald Trump and the MAGA movement, there's an upswell of loud male entitlement shouting at us from every corner. It's got nothing to do with Donald Trump supporters. A Donald Trump supporter, I'm one of them, and I know dozens of people personally, hundreds around me, who would never strike a woman. I would strike somebody, if I saw somebody punching a woman in the face, I would take them out. And that's any Trump supporter. Most any Trump supporter would do what I just said I would do. It's not about men supporting Donald Trump. White men is what she's saying, no doubt. Mostly white men. The trouble is, here in New York, there are no bail laws. Criminals they commit crimes, and they're let out without bail. Because these Democrats in New York State, again, the socialists I was referring to earlier, don't believe in bail laws or in criminal justice, real criminal justice. You do a crime, you do the time. You take a life, you have your life taken. Some Old Testament justice is what we need, right out of Leviticus. He who spills the blood of man shall have his blood spilt by man. But we don't see that, not certainly not in New York. There was a cop shot and killed recently, maybe 2 weeks ago. His name is Jonathan Diller, left behind a wife and a one-year-old child. I think I mentioned this on the last podcast I did last week. His killer had 21 priors, 9 felonies, including drug sales, weapons, charges, walking free. His partner had 14 prior arrests. This guy shot Diller dead. Why was he out? Because judges couldn't keep him. There are no bail laws in New York. There were some slight tweaks last year to the criminal justice reform, so-called, that Democrats passed in 2019. But judges need full discretion to decide whether a criminal is a threat to society before he decides to either release him or to keep him behind bars. We don't have that in New York. Everything's upside down. Illegal aliens are coming across the border freely. They're in New York City. They're getting free room and board, debit cards, paid for over $500 every month. They get recharged, they're reloaded, the debit cards. We're paying for it. It's crazy. Criminals are walking the streets, knocking out women, shooting cops. It's sickening what's going on here. I don't know where it leads. I think we're in some trouble. I really do. I think there's going to be some kind of backlash. Hopefully, it's at the voting booth or booths in November. We make the changes then, because if we continue to go down the path we're going, it's going to be ugly. We have to right this ship one way or the other. We can't let criminals roam the streets. People are going to start protecting themselves, which we have to anyway. They're not going to rely on police officers. They're not going to call the cops. The new movement in New York City, especially, is these squatters getting in people's homes and not leaving. And when the homeowner comes back and tries to get the squatters out, if they change the locks on their own house, they get arrested. The homeowner gets arrested. If a squatter is in a home for 30 days, he has the same rights as a renter. I listen to stuff and I read stuff every day, especially here in New York. I can't believe what's happening. If somebody was in my house, I would get them out one way or the other. And it wouldn't necessarily involve calling the police. Get my drift? And a lot of people up where I live in a very rural section of upstate New York feel the same way. People are not allowed to be on your property or in your home unless they have the deed. Or unless they have the lease, they're not allowed in. It's your property. Your property is an extension of your liberty, and it's not to be infringed. There are laws. Or there were laws. I mean, if we're going to live by the law of the jungle, then what's going to happen? Society's going to crumble. That's what the left wants. They hate America. They hate our laws. They hate our Constitution. It's been said a million times. They hate capitalism. Because at the center of all these so-called reforms in Albany is this disdain for capitalism and free markets. I listen to the debates on the floor of the Assembly, and these people know not what they speak, these Democrats. They're young. Most of them are black or Hispanic. I can't pronounce any of their names. They're spouting this Marxist theology. How do they get in office? How do they get elected? I realize New York City is not upstate New York. It's not Cambridge or Salem. But my God, it's our way of life that's threatened. A lot of this stuff begins in schools, in public schools, government schools, which we pay dearly for in New York State. New York City, they average, I think, $37,000 a cost per pupil to send a kid to government schools. We spend more money on public education than any other state in the union. And our results, somewhere in the middle of the pack. We're not getting the bang for the buck. I've got to run. Thank you very much, folks, for tuning us in. If you want to check out all the fine programming we have for you, go to the bmgnetwork.com. You want to contact me directly? It's Pacman, PACMAN, at the bmgnetwork.com, all lowercase. My name is Ted Flint. We do this weekly. My daughter Madeline has a show. She's getting together a couple of podcast she's working on. She's very busy with her school. Her show's called The Essentials with Maddie Flint, and we have some really fine broadcasters up on the website. Check them out. You can find us wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple iTunes. My son was listening to me on Spotify recently. He said, I couldn't listen, Dad. I couldn't because I was talking about basketball, I think it was, and I mentioned that players in the 80s and teams of the 80s could beat any team today, and he doesn't agree, of course. But anyway, check us out. Thanks for tuning us in. And if you like the show, hit like and hit subscribe and share with your friends on social media. Thanks for tuning us in. And if the Lord wills it, we will talk to you soon.
The Pac-Man Podcast was produced and edited in the BMG studio. Music by Kevin MacLeod. For more episodes of the Pac-Man Podcast, go to the BMGnetwork.com or go to the BMG Network on Facebook. And be sure to tune into the next episode of the Pac-Man Podcast with Ted Flint.